collegiately speaking.
Walks into the end zone.
Touchdown.
Punches to the end zone.
Touchdown.
This is Collegiately Speaking. With the voice of Northwestern football and basketball, Dave Enning, and former Northwestern star quarterback, Dan Persa. It's Collegiately Speaking. Let's go.
And welcome to another edition of Collegiately Speaking. I'm Dave Ennett, joined by former Northwestern quarterback Dan Persa. We stop by every week to talk about the Northwestern Wildcats. The game just ended, the game coming up. We're going to be joined this week by the quarterback for the Wildcats, Preston Stone, the graduate transfer from SMU, who had another big day on Saturday in the Wildcats' second 42-7 victory of the season, this one at the hands of ULM. Dan, you got to see that one up close alongside me in the broadcast booth. And really, aside from a flea flicker to start the game and then a long pass on ULM's second possession, it was pretty much all Northwestern on Saturday.
Agreed. As you mentioned, a little bit of a weary start coming off the UCLA win with a long drive from ULM and the trick play for a touchdown. And then when Northwestern got the ball, frankly, you know, we were a little bit nervous as well up in the booth with a bunch of, you know, third and longs and fourth downs. But Northwestern was able to overcome those situations and make huge plays when they needed to. And really put those guys away. And as we talked about in the broadcast, it wasn't as though ULM couldn't drive the ball. They continued to gash Northwestern for big plays, but the defense would step up as soon as they crossed the 50 or as soon as they got to the red zone and got a stop. So was very encouraging to see across the board. And as you mentioned, Preston will join us shortly. You know, he had probably his most complete game, was very efficient, made a bunch of big throws. And I thought the receivers really, really stepped up, particularly Hayden Elligan, a guy that's very talented. The coaches have been looking to get the ball in his hands a little bit more. And he had, more than anything, a really, really big game from a confidence standpoint that should pay dividends as we get into the Big Ten season here.
Yeah, he finished with three catches for 80 yards, had some cramping, which I think limited him after really the early part of the game. He had the long touchdown as well. But, you know, you look at third down in this game. I think the Wildcats at one point were 10 out of 12 or 11 of 13. They finished 11 of 17. But the only reason they weren't converting late, they had a lot of backups in there, went to their second-team quarterback, Ryan Bowe, and they were basically just, at that point, trying to pretty much run out the clock. But overall, this team has been better on third down. They have been better in the red zone. They were 4-for-4 in the red zone on Saturday. And these were areas, Dan, in which they struggled last year, and they were areas in which they really needed to show improvement. But in my mind, third down and third down defense, as you said, I mean, they got ULM's offense off the field pretty quick most of the day.
Yeah, and I think the most impressive thing, which I don't know is if it's something Northwestern wants to find themselves in consistently, is just the long third down conversions, like the third down and 8+. I don't know the exact stats, but I got to mention of those 11 conversions, probably more than half were 8+. Which is typically a lower percentage than a third and 3-5. So I think mm-hmm. Northwestern still has to do a little bit of better job on first and second down, staying out of those situations. Cause again, in the Big Ten, I'm not sure you can kind of, you know, lay your hat down and say you're going to convert all of those longer third downs. But it's great to build confidence. And as you said, on defense, they continued on third and fourth down as things got tight to make plays when they needed to, especially in the second half.
Well, they were the worst red zone team of the Big Ten a year ago, and they were next to last in rushing offense last year, 99 yards a game. They're about 100 yards a game ahead of that this year. They have the fifth best running game of the Big Ten right now, and that's despite losing Cam Porter to injury in their third game of the season, second game. So, you know, to be putting up numbers like that, I think is really impressive. And this defense, you know, is going to give them a chance in every game. The defense is really playing well, and they're hoping, and we've heard this for a few weeks now, but they're hoping to get a couple guys back on that defense who will help. Damon Walters, who hasn't played a lick of football yet this season, and also Josh Fussell, who's a standout cornerback who hasn't played the last two games. So getting those guys back will only make a unit that's already playing well, you would think, even stronger.
Agreed. The defense really hasn't been a question this year, or frankly, in the past couple of years. It's just been the inconsistency on offense and frankly, lack of balance. So I think, again, one of the main takeaways from ULM is you know, we know Northwestern has been able to run the ball this year, especially even against, you know, great defenses like Oregon. The biggest question has just been a consistent pass game, right? It started very rough and then has got progressively better. So I think, you know, Northwestern has to find a way as things get colder and as you play, you know, better competition to just stay balanced on offense. And I think, you know, the ULM game for the passing offense was a great beacon of what can be ahead of something where you have, you know, great downhill running game with the three running backs have proven to be very talented, and also Preston and the wide receivers taking advantage of defenders that are leaning a little bit too far forward on their toes and throwing the ball over their head. So I think it's something I'm going to continue to look for as the season goes along. It's just the progression of the balance on offense.
Back-to-back games, though, without a turnover by the offense. Turnovers were a problem early in the season. They haven't taken the ball away on defense at all. Just two takeaways in their opening five games, both of those interceptions by their middle linebacker, Mac Uihlein. But if you're not taking the ball away, at least you're not turning it over, and that's an area in which they're showing some improvement, some growth as well.
Agreed. On defense, I thought they had a couple chances, especially one, you know, in the end zone there on a deep throw. And Preston had a couple close calls again. One out to Preston was – or to Griffin was a little underthrown, but Griffin came away with it. And then there was another deep ball that, you know, probably was a dropped interception that he has to be a little bit careful of. But, you know, those don't show up on the stat line. Like you said, as long as you're even to plus, you're going to be in every game with this defense. So that's another, you know, great point and point of improvement for the Northwestern offense is just taking care of the ball, which they need to continue to do as we head into October here.
Meantime, they're taking on a Penn State team, which was the preseason number two in the country and coming off back-to-back losses. Now, one of those was that whiteout game in State College where they lost in overtime to Oregon, certainly no shame in losing there, even though I know they fully expected to win that game and be 4-0. But then they go to UCLA to play an 0-4 Bruins team and got down big by, 20 points, I think, at halftime and ended up losing 42-37, the first win for UCLA and a loss, which I think has Penn State kind of searching for some answers right now. No, nobody really expected that outcome. They were more than three touchdown favorites going to LA. And I know there's talk about, well, it's the travel and this and that, but look, everybody's dealing with that these days in the Big Ten. And they're going home now for homecoming, taking on the Wildcats. And you just wonder where their psyche is right now, but let's talk about Beaver Stadium because that's one of the toughest places to play in college football. I think we all know that. Dan, you've been there. You know what that place is like. What's the biggest challenge this team will face on Saturday?
Yeah, I think you mentioned it. It's just finding ways to sustain drives and keeping the crowd out of the game. You know, I think if you can score points early and not turn the ball over and not, you know, give the crowd a reason to go nuts with a bunch of like long third downs like Northwestern saw against ULM, you know, it's much more manageable, right? But if you give up big plays on defense and then you're three and out or you know, turn the ball over on offense and the crowd gets involved, it can be a problem pretty quickly. So I think, you know, one of the biggest things you can do to take the crowd out of the game is run the ball, right? And control the clock and, you know, get the crowd tired of standing up every third down and tired of screaming every third down, right? By converting. But, you know, to your earlier point about, you know, the UCLA game, you know, UCLA, it's an interesting game because I think you and I both agree that UCLA shouldn't be 0-4, shouldn't have been 0-4. They're a really talented team. They just didn't seem like they had a lot of direction or motivation. And same thing on the other side of Penn State. Like you mentioned, you know, traveling's tough and there's going to be some cobwebs here or there. But, you know, I thought they were probably a touch overrated going into the season and going into the first couple of games. I'm still not really, really sold on Drew Aller. I think he's a really talented quarterback, but I think he makes a lot of mistakes, and fundamentally he continues to be a little bit sloppy in my opinion. So, you know, I think, you know, do you want your opponent to lose the game before you? Typically not, right? Because I'm sure there's a lot of loud voices in that locker room and that coaching staff right now. But at the same time, I do think Northwestern's more confident than, you know, people would think going into this game. Because I've talked to some folks around the league and in the program, just say, look, I don't think Penn State's the number two team in the country. But, you know, if you give them the reason to show that and you keep the crowd involved, like, this could get away from you very quickly as well. So I think it's just maintaining possession, you know, taking care of the ball, all the things that they've done well in the last couple games, play good defense, and keep the crowd out of the game, and they'll have a shot in the fourth quarter.
And joining us now on Collegiately Speaking, the quarterback for the Northwestern Wildcats, number 8 out of Dallas, Texas, Preston Stone, 5 games so far, 918 yards through the air, 7 touchdowns for his career. Preston closing in on the 5,000-yard passing mark, 42 touchdown passes. He had 3 against Western Illinois earlier this year. He had 3 on Saturday in the win over ULM. Preston, Dave Ennett and Dan Percy here. Thanks for joining us. How are you feeling today?
Yeah, glad to be with you guys today. Feeling great. Just got done with a great practice preparing for Penn State. Team's looking good and feeling really good right now.
Are you pretty excited about this game? I mean, I'm sure you are. There are a number of reasons why you would be, but you're one of the few guys on this team who's actually been to State College before, and it was for a college football playoff game, no less. So have guys been like picking your brain at all to try to get an idea of what to expect on Saturday?
A little bit, yeah. But, you know, there's also a ton of guys on the team who've played in big time Big Ten environments that I haven't been in. But I'm definitely glad to have that perspective of being able to go to Happy Valley last year. And, you know, these are the games that you dream of. So I'm fired up. I know the boys are fired up. It's going to be a great day.
Preston, Dan Percy here. Thanks again for joining us. Maybe talk a little bit about your progression and kind of the chemistry with the receivers from the first game in Tulane. Obviously not how you wanted to start, but you guys have progressed pretty substantially and kind of leading into the ULM game, which I think is probably the unit's most complete game. So maybe talk a little bit about your progression and just how the rest of the wide receivers have come along since then.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like we had a great spring ball and fall camp as far as getting on the same page with my progressions and just our chemistry in general. But there really is no substitute for real live game reps. And, you know, going into game 6, I feel like, you know, more so than ever since I've been here, myself and the entire wide receiver unit, we're on the same page from a timing standpoint. And, you know, honestly, just from a swagger and confidence standpoint, I feel like those guys are playing with a chip on their shoulder, playing with some edge to them. So it's been really fun to be a part of.
Yeah, agreed. Looking forward to Penn State and their defense. What are some things you guys think you can take advantage of on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're a great team. They've got a ton of talent. They play a ton of different looks on defense. You know, when it comes to how we win the game on Saturday, I think, you know, it's whatever defense, whatever look they're giving us, it's just going to be about all 11 guys executing and doing our jobs. You know, playing very complimentary football, whether that's, you know, hurting them in the pass game to open up the run or vice versa. And you know, I think this past Saturday was really our first example of a complete football game for all 4 quarters. So we're looking to replicate that again this week.
When you guys get down quickly on Saturday, as you did against ULM on the flea flicker, what's the mood there on the sidelines? What was the talk on the bench? Because you guys find yourself in an early hole.
Yeah, I mean, I know myself, and you found a lot of guys saying just good, you know, good. Like this is where we want to be. This is awesome. You know, this is exactly what we're trained for. It's exactly what, the kind of adversity that we've been expecting. And, you know, as a competitor, you kind of look forward to it. So, you know, going down early in a game like that, I was super proud of the way that we responded. And I feel like from a mental standpoint, everybody was on the same page.
Preston, let me get a little insight into you for Wildcat fans who may know your story to a certain extent, but this has been some kind of transition for you. You've spent your whole life in Texas. Now you come here for a year of college football, living in Evanston, Chicago, and playing at Northwestern. What kind of transition has that been like for you?
Yeah, it's you know, this is my fifth year. I'm in grad school, but it's really like my first time going off to college because you know, my home was only about 10 minutes away from campus back at SMU. So coming up here in January, I couldn't have found myself in a better locker room. Coming to Northwestern, the kind of people that are in the locker room and among the coaching staff are just incredibly welcoming and friendly, while at the same time pushing you to be the best version of yourself. And you know, living in Chicago, being close to Chicago, and living in Evanston, it's just been incredible. You know, close to the beach, there's great food, great people up here. So it's been an incredible year so far.
Have you gotten a chance to get into the city of Chicago much and enjoy what that offers?
A little bit, yeah. Usually when my family's in town, we'll head down there. I love going to Navy Pier. I'm kicking myself for not making it to a Cubs game yet. But you know, since the Rangers aren't in the playoffs this year, I'll definitely be rooting the Cubs on.
There you go. Well, that's good. But you still have at least another chance, I guess. But you're kind of busy with something else right now. You come from You come from a football family, right? Your two brothers played college football as well?
Yes, sir. So, yeah, my oldest brother played quarterback at Virginia, and our middle brother, he played receiver at SMU, and he's a coach there right now.
So you mentioned your family coming up here. Do they get up here for every game?
My parents do. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my brothers is obviously very busy on Saturdays. And then my oldest brother, he makes it to quite a few games as well. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's got to be great. Well, listen, before I let you go, you mentioned the coaches and how welcoming they've been. And David Braun has been steadfast in his support of you from day one, and talking about, you know, just that even after the Tulane game, like, we've got his back, and you've said yourself that meant a lot to you. Why was that important to you?
You know, it just speaks a lot about, you know, the kind of person Coach Braun is. You know, especially when you have a game like Tulane where you don't get the result you want, you know, your response and the work we've put in leading up to that point, you know, it's going to come into fruition. It's going to take care of itself. So, you know, I feel very blessed to be playing for a coach like Coach Braun and Coach Lujan. And like I said, it's an incredible locker room to be a part of. And so I know once we get into those championship rounds later in the year, we'll be ready for the test.
Well, that's quite a statement, right? What have these last two wins done for you and for this team?
Yeah, I think, you know, anytime you can start to stack wins, it's always going to be a confidence booster. You know, it feels good to have a very comprehensive win like we did last game. But that's not to say that, you know, we weren't surprised by that. I think the work we've put in since January, you know, is coming into fruition. And, you know, any test we face this year, we'll be ready.
Well, listen, last question. When you throw a pass to Griffin Wilde, do you even have to look to know that he's going to make the catch?
he's bailed me out quite a few times this year. He's Griffin is an unbelievable player. He does everything right. He runs incredible routes, great hands, but also on top of that, he's just a playmaker. So I know he's got my back. If I leave the ball a little bit behind or too far behind or it's misplaced, he's a stud.
Well, the connection between you guys been really fun to watch so far, and a long way to go. And listen, Preston, thank you. I know you just got off the practice field. We appreciate you jumping on with Dan and me. We'll see you on the plane to Penn State Saturday, or Friday rather, but good luck Saturday in Happy Valley, and we will talk to you again down the road. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely. Likewise. Go Cats.
All right. Thanks to Preston for joining us, and I look at what he's done so far, Dan, and I think that, you know, this team has shown that they do have a passing attack, and they got, after concerns about the depth at wide receiver, who was there, who would step up behind Griffin Wilde, who I think has really shown that he's a standout. But these other guys now have I think, shown that they can play too. And, you know, if you can find eight different guys to get the ball to during a game, if you're a quarterback, you'll take that, right?
Absolutely. And I think what you look for from the Northwestern offense is continued improvement, right? And let's be real here. Preston didn't play last year. Like there's going to be some cobwebs and some rust to shake off. And he's shown that he's continuing to gel with the wide receivers and the other folks on offense, and he's getting better. Right. So I think that's a hallmark of, frankly, the Northwestern program. As you know, Dave, just continuous improvement and really peaking in late October, heading into November. And it looks like they're doing that, right? Obviously the competition is going to stiffen up here shortly, but I think Preston and the wide receivers have shown us reasons for confidence going into this Penn State game and beyond.
All right. And again, the important points to remember for the Wildcats going into Beaver Stadium on Saturday.
Yeah, I think it's taking the crowd out of the game, possessing the ball, no big plays on defense, and just give yourself a chance in the fourth quarter.
All right. Well, listen, we'll do this again next week before the Wildcats come home to take on Purdue in their last game at Northwestern Medicine Field. And that's the day they're going to honor the 1995 Rose Bowl team. A lot of those guys, I think most of them are coming back. I believe the coach, Gary Barnett, is going to be there, and it should be a really special day. That kickoff is set for 2 p.m. Central Time on October 18th. This week, another 2:30 kickoff Central Time for the Wildcats at Penn State. And, of course, you will hear the game. We'll be on ESPN 1000 in Chicago on Saturday afternoon, beginning with our pregame at 2 o'clock. Dan, we'll talk to you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
There he goes, Dan Persa. Thanks to Preston Stone, our producer, Jack Heinrich. I'm Dave Bennett. Thanks for being with us, everybody, and we'll talk to you again next week.